This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. We're always glad to have you. Today, we're going to be talking about an issue that we've been talking about on a regular. We are talking about veterans. We're talking about the dynamics of vet reform at the VA in terms of what's happening with new leadership and what may be the potential, hopefully, good opportunities that's going to come for the VA and hopefully some good changes will come for the VA with hopefully new leadership. But we're going to be talking about that today. And we're going to also be talking about Vets HQ, VetsHQ.com, which is a website that's been out there helping vets in terms of, you know, with their service records, helping them find out what their benefits are, helping them find out what they're eligible for and helping them in a number of different ways. We've got the founder of Vets HQ, the co-CEO of Fast Yeti, which is the company that runs Vets HQ, and one of our regular guests, Linda Ricks. She's on here. Welcome, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's early on the West Coast.
Always, I know, always good to talk to you. Getting you up out of the West Coast side. Hey, you know, you've been dealing with the veterans issues for quite some time, and you've got your site, Vets HQ, that's out there to really work with veterans and help them in a number of different ways. What's your thoughts on what's been happening with the VA and the reforms that have been talked about, and also with the possible new leadership with the this person who's come back from PNG, who's had this background in business, who served in the military? What's your thoughts on all these things?
Well, I think it's progress is being made, right? The passage of the veterans the sort of supplemental $17 billion reform bill, I think is a really good sign in terms of people are taking it very seriously and trying to do something at it. I'm a little worried that we're throwing money at it rather than maybe doing a deeper dive into what the VA represents. I do think that from the standpoint of the new secretary coming in, the idea of having somebody come in that has previously been in charge of a conglomerate rather than someone who has either political connections exclusively or exclusively military experience, I think is pretty important because the VA is in essence that. You've got three big, large-scale organizations that would represent, big business lines in a conglomerate, and you're trying to put a meta structure over them to make them operate as a single entity. So I thought that was a good parallel between McDonald's experience at PNG and the experience with the VA and what that will bring. So I think that's good. I think there are several things
let me even interject, Linda. Do you think you think this is the right fit? Because I mean, even with this, I mean, as we look at maybe for government, do you think this is the right fit in terms of kind of bringing these business leaders in here? I mean, do you think the processes? I mean, I've had some people say, well, listen, it should be a more customer service type, company CEO, somebody who deals with people a little bit more than necessarily products. So do you think that's still the right fit though?
I think it's probably as good as we're going to get.
Okay.
Because it's late in the administration, and we're now going to, we're going to hit that final last 2 years mark here, and we're really not in a position, I think, to bring in someone that maybe like the Cleveland Clinic guy that eventually bowed out of the process. I think it's going to be hard to bring somebody in at this point in the administration, where we can really take a look at an exact or more perfect match. But I do think that in order for, because we're in the last phase of the administration, in order for McDonald to be successful, there will have to be a tremendous amount of support provided by the rank and file. And these will be the, you know, the civil servants are the ones that we have to rely on, because they're the ones who really understand the scope and the range of the problems in the agency, and also understand how the work gets done in the agency. They may be so acclimated to it that they're not able to offer up a high degree of innovation, but they will know where and what needs to potentially be tweaked in order to fix problems that are occurring there. But we're really, at this point, I think it's less about the leadership. It's more about at least having a leader that has a vision and is willing to dig in. But it's going to come down to the rank and file at this point, because regardless of whatever else happens, we're going to turn over to a new administration, be it Democratic or Republican, and we're going to have to have a sustainable reform path forward. This isn't going to happen overnight. So I think at this point, let's get some responsible leadership in there that has dealt with a large-scale enterprise before, and let's then have the civil servants do what they do. Continuity, bring forward all of the areas that need improvement, bring forward all of the technical, the deep technical and substantive experience that they have in order to make change happen. It's certainly not going to happen from providing for a new secretary to enter into the game.
You know, so, one thing that I've always been thinking about, and tell me if you think in terms of the business side of this, Linda, it seems as if there's a customer service problem going on with the VA, right? And in a couple of different areas. And it seems as if that may be one of the priorities. And I don't know if that's a technology thing. It seems like it's a people and maybe a people and process type dynamic. But it seems as if there needs to be some increased customer service elements that go into the VA. I mean, as a veteran, I've experienced some times where I kind of feel like the service should have been better at the VA. But what's your thoughts on that as we look at these different reforms?
I think the issue of customer service, as I kind of watched the discussion going on, where a lot of folks in Congress were basically saying that once a veteran gets into the healthcare system, they like the healthcare that they get. They're positive about the healthcare that they get. It's getting them into the system that seems to be the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So from that angle, I think the customer service is probably good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think there are other aspects that where a real more of a cultural revolution has to take place, and that would be in the customer service on a claim side.
Gotcha.
I think the overarching problem with claims is that they're not oriented to actually take the stance that every veteran is entitled, and we have to prove otherwise if we're going to prove otherwise. I think that there's a lot of policing and negativity related to that side of the house. So it kind of depends on which part you're talking about, but I think there's a tremendous amount of good service being delivered with the boots on the ground.
As we think about it, and you know, this kind of is something where you kind of come into play with Fasciati and Vets HQ, this whole claims piece, you know, is and I think we mentioned this before, but Linda, I think you can even educate again, because there's how many different levels of either disabilities or different things that a person can file under? It's over 100 something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually 74. Sort of broad groups that, you know, that we'd be looking at. So you've got 75 of those, and then you've got life event related groups that are part of that. But the basic is there are just too many, and some of them are incredibly refined. I mean, there's a benefit for grants building adaptive housing for veterans, in which the secretary is confined to awarding only 30 of these a year. So when you get down all the way down into the weeds of it, what you find is there's so many different benefits, and some of them are very specific and very precise. And it's not possible for a person or even a large group of people to know every one of them in detail. That's where the technology is the greater value, is because you can do something with technology that makes it more TurboTax-like. So TurboTax took 93,000 pages of tax code. VetsHQ takes 22,000 pages of code and regulation related just to veterans' benefits and entitlements. And we put it into a TurboTax style to help really the veteran navigate all of the possible choices that the veteran has and all the things they may qualify for. So that's where technology is better than human in terms of being able to look at very complex scenarios and identify really good matches between this individual and what it is that they're entitled to with respect to various claims and benefits. So that's exactly right. We're looking at a really, really complex system.
We'll keep on talking about that when we come back, because I think the claims process, in which you're kind of talking about in terms of the service and the claims and getting people past that process into the system, is really kind of one of the big hurdles. And then also, it seems as if there's a dynamic of, you know, the work between the claim representatives at the VA, the claim representatives or the people at the veteran service organizations. There's maybe a dynamic of helping those people improve their process in order to work with the veteran to get them the right benefits and get them into the system as they move forward. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She is the co-CEO of a company called Fast Yeti. They have a site out there called VetsHQ.com. VetsHQ.com. If you're a veteran or you know a veteran, you need to refer them to this site. It's a great site in which they can go in and then basically find out what all their benefits are. Sometimes that's a tough struggle, even just kind of going through the VA. You can go in, put all your service history, and they have really have taken a great approach in which they pull all that history together and then let you know what are all the different possibilities of your benefits. You know, if there's any kind of things that you need to know about, it brings that information and it helps you out in order to use the VA the right way. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking about veteran issues. We're talking about veteran reform. We're talking about how can the veteran process be improved, if not just through the VA, maybe using some other tools in order to improve the veteran process, in order to help veterans get their benefits that they have deserved, that they have won. I mean, you know, throughout their service and everything else that they're eligible for, these are things that they're entitled to. And we want to make sure that veterans get what they're entitled to for serving this country and doing this thing and protecting this country. We're talking about VetsHQ.com. We're talking to the co-CEO of Fast Yeti, who runs VetsHQ, Linda Ricks. Linda, we were talking about the dynamic of reform and kind of, you know, the other changes that's going to be happening. New leadership, which, you know, people seem to be positive about, a dynamic of looking at maybe improving the claims process, improving, you know, some of these other things. Is there anything else that, you know, you would want to see? I mean, I know your father was a veteran. This is a personal issue for you. Is there anything else kind of utopia that you would want to see, especially as you have a product that serves veterans? Is there any way that any other kind of utopia dynamic that you would say, hey, vet reform or VA reform should be doing this?
I've never been asked for my utopian
view utopian
before.
Utopian answer, right? Okay.
I like it. Yeah, you know, I think that it tries to address the healthcare issues, which I think are the critical issues to address. In part, I like the fact that there is more emphasis on private partnerships, where we're able to actually have folks that are actually trying to get somewhere with us and we can defer them to the private sector when the capacity of the VA is overwhelmed. And I think one of the areas where that is also true is in claims. And that's one of the reasons why we created Vets HQ, was really because there are so many people who are not taking advantage of benefits that they did earn through their service. And there are also a lot of situations where families are in a situation where they're financially stressed and they need help with respect to things like elder care, with respect to the Vietnam and Korea vets, with respect to things like being able to sustain a surviving spouse through their elder care issues, the children, and other dependents of veterans. So to us, my utopia would have been much more emphasis on the capability of public-private partnerships in general, in all areas that the VA deals with, but also specifically, I think, in the claims area. I think the idea of utopia is to really look at where the bottlenecks are on these claims. And this is an area where the Veterans Service Organizations have made allegations that the VA has really kind of rigged the numbers relative to backlogs and clearing backlogs and those kinds of things, and really move out of this idea or concept of we measure our result or our success based on how many we clear out of a backlog, and move it to a discussion that says we measure our success and our result based on how many veterans and families we are helping, and just moving that goal.
Yeah. And you know, as I think about it, you know, when we talk about the claims dynamic, and I know we've discussed this before, one of the main concerns in working with the veteran service organizations and sometimes the service representatives is that, one, you have a representative or a veteran service organization representative who is not completely knowledgeable of all the different rules and regulations, right? And this is where maybe technology and maybe kind of where you talked about Vets HQ. Talk about that a little bit, Linda. You know, I mean, because there's so many rules and regulations, sometimes it's hard for one person to really have all this stuff in their mind, in their head. And then if they're not using the right tool sets or not, you know, referring to the right things or, you know, or just kind of misinforming veterans because they don't know, that can cause a delay in the veterans process.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I get concerned about relative to that is unless you have a technology that essentially has all of the codified, you know, all of the regulations and all of the code and everything else that we have that is specific, and it outlines things like here's a benefit you're eligible for if these conditions occurred. But there are always, because we've been adding to these regulations and these laws over a great long period of time, you will find things like, and my favorite is on Agent Orange. Agent Orange, people, I think, intuitively understand Agent Orange if they were in Vietnam, but you'll hear from a lot of people who are not in country, oh, I served in the Vietnam War, but I was not in country, or I was only in country for a couple of days. And what Agent Orange has, and the case law around that and everything else has defined that, you know, you're in country, and yes, you would be entitled to Agent Orange benefits, especially if certain health conditions show up, right? Like type 2 diabetes, a really common one, heart disease, another common one, Parkinson's, another one, where a lot of people see this as a normal part of the aging process. But there are 96 other locations that you could have acquired Agent Orange exposure in, many of them in the United States, and there are 330
And Linda, let me just interject. So what you're saying is that you don't necessarily have to just be in country in a war zone. You know,
right.
It could have been that you were in a region where they were basically shipping the Agent Orange out. You could have been at a base in the United States or somewhere else in another country where the Agent Orange was, and you had exposure then.
Right. And you may have exposure even today.
Hmm.
So the idea that that's all based on Vietnam and exclusively Vietnam is wrong. The other is, you know, we're finding that that the outreach to Vietnam veterans to get them to come in and take a look is extraordinarily difficult. So our outreach isn't really to the Vietnam-era veteran. It's more to the children of Vietnam veterans who are now seeing their parents struggling with a myriad of diseases and illnesses that never manifested themselves, you know, until 20 or 30 years after the exposure. So we're seeing a lot of things like that that really need to be translated to the average consumer. So to go back to your earlier comment about getting somebody into the VA that has provided service directly to consumers, this is one of those areas where you want a consumer focused strategy, because you're trying to get to people who don't see that their current medical condition is a result of their service, you know, decades ago. So I think it's a really important element to this whole discussion about reforming the VA is to take a look at the VA benefits and claims process is not consumer friendly, and that's why we created Vets HQ, because it's important to have something that is very consumer friendly. So one of the things I downloaded a PDF pamphlet on benefits that the VA has on its site for veterans to download, and I ran it through a readability index. And it turned out that you had to really have 32.6 years of education to be able to comprehend the language used in that pamphlet. The same thing happens with the kinds of tools that claims examiners are given. You have all kinds of tools where the I just plopped a paragraph in of a LexisNexis tool that's used, and the average sentence in that paragraph was 30 words long. So you're starting to see, you know, it's amazingly complicated, and it just doesn't have to be that way. It can be very, very clear-cut. And we actually, we've created what we call rapid assessments, and we're creating a lot more of them because they're proving to be powerful on the Vets HQ site. But we can basically, if you go in and do into Vets HQ and look at the Agent Orange or Camp Lejeune or Fort McClellan or Elder Care Rapid Assessment, we can tell you in 3 to 4 questions whether or not it is likely that you're entitled to a benefit under that category. So that's pretty easy to do, right? You can go in, you can answer these 3 or 4 questions, and we tell you right away whether it looks like you meet the criteria or you potentially don't meet the criteria. And we put elder care in there because of the children of veterans that are dealing with a lot of very, very expensive elder care issues right now.
You know, so that's pretty amazing. And we got to take a quick break, but I want to keep on talking about this because, I mean, what you really are talking about is really a dynamic of, and a lot of us as veterans, we don't always know our exposure levels. I guess my question to you, and I want to hit it when we come back, is, you know, does the VA know all this? Is this all recorded in the VA files that, hey, listen, you know, if you were in, you know, North Carolina, we've seen the things that's happened in North Carolina recently, but if you're in certain parts of the country, we know that you were exposed to such and such, or we know that this, that, and the other. Is all that information, you know, documented from the government standpoint? And it, you know, because you never really see that information readily available or anyone discussing these things. I mean, so what you're talking about is just a whole new level of information that veterans need to know about and can be maybe dealt with through technology. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She is the co-CEO of a company called Fast Yeti. They run a site called VetsHQ.com. VetsHQ.com. If you are a veteran or you know someone who's a veteran, maybe a family member, a friend, or whoever the case is, veteran benefits is one of the biggest things that you can have as a veteran. And if that is the case, then you need to be on the site VetsHQ.com, a good site where you can really kind of find out all these small things about your veteran benefits. You know, are you eligible for certain things? Because maybe you were exposed to something in another part of the world or even in the United States that could even say, listen, maybe it's impacting your health right now, and you need to have that as part of your VA medical health plan or part of your benefits. These are all the things you should know. We're talking about these issues right now, along with vet reform. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about vet reform. We've been having an interesting conversation about kind of the dynamics of veteran benefits, claim systems in the VA, how to help veterans, you know, get their benefits better. As we've seen in the media, that vet reform and Veterans Administration needs that reform right now in order to help veterans do, you know, get the care, I should say, that they need. And so we've been talking about this right now. We're talking to Linda Ricks, and she is the co-CEO of Fast Yeti. They're a company that runs VetsHQ.com. VetsHQ.com, a good program where veterans can go on there and get their benefits and find out a number of other things about their benefits, about their service records, and then how to navigate the VA process a lot better. Linda, you know, when we think about this, you know, you mentioned something that's very, very important to me, because, you know, a lot of us as veterans, we've been, you know, to different parts of the world. We've been exposed, you know, if you've been in a war zone, or maybe you haven't been in a war zone, you know, the exposure to a number of different things can be great, right? I mean, elements, chemicals, all these other kind of things. I was asking the question at the break, does the VA have this information documented?
Well, sort of.
Okay, that's not a lot of confidence right there.
There's documentation, but there's also it's not centralized.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, so you can't kind of go to one place, and we've actually been working on these. There are a number of registries that are available for individuals to sign up for, and the registries are things that ensure that the veteran and or the veteran's family, in the case of things like Camp Lejeune or Fort McClellan, where there was exposure to contamination and contaminated drinking water, those particular registries are set up in order to ensure that the VA provides health care. Sometimes it's merely an annual checkup. In other cases, it's more robust health care to the individuals that are part of the registry. But you can't go to just one spot and find them. You actually have to really dig and look around. And it's one of those things where it's in the zone of you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have someone who does know and they're starting to look and find these things, what you find is that the information is very dispersed. It's not even in a consistent form. And it may relate to things where you could have potentially millions of people affected by it, but not very many are able to find the registry and sign up for it, or are even aware that these things occurred to them. So, yeah, it's things like where you may have been stationed in the United States. So Camp Lejeune, Fort McClellan are good examples of that. But also things like exposure during Gulf War. Gulf War syndrome is another area where we're seeing a lot of study and a lot of research and analysis. People were exposed to these open pit burns during the Gulf War, and actually in other incidents as well. They may have all kinds of health issues resulting from that based on their exposure, and includes includes Iraq and Afghanistan and major areas of Southwest Asia, but it also includes folks that may have served in prior theaters and engagements. So, you know, it's just a matter of getting this information in one place and being able to say, if you served at this, you know, in this location or at this point in time, you need to look at whether any of these conditions apply to you. And if they do, then here's what you can do with respect to the potential to get a benefit or claim filed with the VA.
You talked to a number of different veterans. Do you find that these questions are being asked, you know, when a veteran goes through the claim process? I mean, are these small questions being asked in terms of that, or they're kind of just being completely missed?
They're disguised. There are a couple of primary forms that are used by the VA, the 526 and the 526 Easy, which is a euphemism, I think. But those forms
it's like the easy tax.
Those forms are they're used very widely and they're very generic, but they're used for potentially multiple types of benefits. So you may have the same form being used for a disability rating as is being used for a pension benefit. And a pension benefit has a disability rating, but it's not just service connected. It's a disability rating that has to do with the veteran at that point in their lives, as opposed to anything that's service connected. The disability rating for compensation is service connected. So the same forms are used in multiple places. So it's hard to know with precision what information to put on the forms or what information the VA really needs in order to really assess your claim or your benefit. So I think it's just disguised. It's very hard to the forms are there, but how you fill them out and what content is put into those forms is really crucial. And here's just a really simple example. A lot of veterans have their forms returned to them because they are not correctly completed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one form, the 526, which has 7 pages of instruction preceding mm-hmm. the form. And one of the reasons they get returned is because a veteran may leave a field blank. Well, the VA wants you not to leave it blank. They want you to put in a 0 or the letters NA into a block. But if you leave it blank, it's considered an inaccurately completed form.
Hmm. Wow.
I mean, yeah, it's just,
And then when it's an accurate form, then basically, I mean, again, it lengthens the process for a person. And then the frustration levels for the veteran goes up because, it just kind of has this domino effect.
Right. And in addition to that, I think the biggest issue is not very many veterans see the amount of money potentially that's related to a particular claim.
Hmm.
And if you don't see the amount of money, you may quickly get fatigued with the process and decide, nah, never mind.
Just forget about it, right.
Yeah, where if you knew it was, $10,000 or $20,000 a year or something along those lines, you might go, well, I need that.
I put that time into it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I hate to think this way. I just ask, is there an incentive to keep veterans from knowing this information because it might cost more?
It definitely costs more. In fact, that's one of the things, and I forget the gentleman's name, but a senator recently said we should just set up a trust fund.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we send a soldier to war, we should put X number of dollars in that trust fund to pay for these benefits that we generally know we're going to end up paying for anyway. And by doing that, we've got this reserve fund to help us along those lines. And here's a very simple one. Only 23% of veterans currently, veterans or other beneficiaries, these would be surviving spouses, children, and so on, only 23%. I have actually gone in and had a claim awarded. There's 53 million of these folks. So when you look at the dollar amount that's being paid out today at a level of 23% versus if you actually paid out for everybody, the dollar number could get very staggering very quickly.
Wow.
So there is a, I'm not sure that serves as an incentive necessarily to try to make the process confusing. I think the process is just inherently confusing because it's based on, here we're going to create a special program over here, right? We had the Montgomery, GI Bill, and now we have the post 9/11 GI Bill, and who knows what we're going to attack on in the future, right? So what we've done is we've just tacked on additional benefits over a long period of time. So I think it's like the tax code. It's virtually a miracle if you find people who understand all of it well enough to be advocates for themselves or for other veterans to get through the process. So it is extraordinarily difficult.
We got to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to keep on talking about this. I want to talk about VestHQ.com and talk about how it's trying to help, you know, improve this process and make sure the information, what you're seeing. I mean, I know you've had to make some changes because you've seen some things in terms of, you know, trying to help veterans really kind of, you know, get through the process easier and not make it so overwhelming for them. We're talking to Linda Rick. She's co-CEO of Fast Yeti. They're a company that runs VestHQ.com. VestHQ.com is a site that veterans need to be on, because it's going to help you get your benefits. It's going to help you find out the small little details that you may not necessarily know if you're going through the regular claims process that could help you get additional benefits, because maybe you were exposed to something. Maybe you were in parts of America where you were exposed to either chemicals or whatever the case is. But all of these things should be part of your veteran's record. I mean, it makes me think about what I should be doing as a veteran. But we'll be right back after this break. We're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about veteran issues. We're talking about vet reform. We're talking about the claim process, veteran benefits. How do you get these veteran benefits if you're a veteran? How do you access them and make the process easier? How do you make sure that you are claiming everything that you should claim? How do you make sure you find that information out? We're talking to Linda Ricks. She is the co-CEO of Fast Yeti. They run a site called VetsHQ.com. VetsHQ.com is a site for all veterans to get on there, find out about your benefits, find out the small little things that you may not know about your veteran benefits, if you were exposed to something that may increase your benefits, or whatever the case is. But it's a great site for veterans to get on there and then kind of use it in order to navigate the process in a lot easier way. Linda, you know, when you developed this site, and, you know, and we talked about this before in terms of, you know, your father being in the Army and his long service record and you being a military child and you know, you really kind of seeing his service and either other family members' service, and this was a personal thing for you, you know, as you kind of started to really develop VetsHQ.com. You know, as you've been working with veterans recently in terms of the process, what have you seen? I mean, you know, you came out with, you know, one element and you said, hey, we had to make some changes because we want to make this thing better. What have you seen in terms of trying to make it easier for veterans to use a system?
Yeah, we actually have been watching people, not watching them,
that might be the
actually
wrong term,
eyes
right?
on them, but we do
but
get...
watching their use on the website.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're able to see their actual, you know, pages they click on, what they do, what they sort of, what kinds of things are really piquing everybody's interest. And we're also pretty aggressive on Facebook. So we're seeing what kinds of things people comment on our Facebook page and so on. And that's really, this is a user-driven site. So what we're doing is we set it up, and now we're watching how people interact with the site, and then we're driving different results on the site as a result of what we think the users really want to see and do. And one of the things we did were these rapid assessments. We put them up. They are actually generating a fairly significant amount of traffic on the site because people are curious, but they don't have a lot of time to invest in something if it's not something that realistically applies to them. So the rapid assessment has been very useful in helping people understand that there is something here for them and encouraging them to invest a little bit more time. So what we've done is we've changed the site around a little bit. We put the rapid assessments up at the very top of the homepage when you go in. We've also moved the D214 analysis, which we had behind the paywall on the site, to before the paywall. And the 214, the data in the 214 is really what everybody uses to determine whether a veteran is entitled or eligible to certain benefits. And so what we did is we put up every possible version of the 214. You match yours, you pick that, you go in and provide some information, and we can give you a very, very reliable assessment of the types of benefits that you should look at and you should think about in terms of applying for those benefits and filing claims for those benefits. So we've moved things around. We've also found that employers of veterans are extremely interested in VetsHQ because this helps them be a better employer. It provides a piece of infrastructure for the company to be able to offer a benefit to the veterans that they hire. And a lot of, as we know, a lot of private sector companies have very significant veterans hiring initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is really helpful to them. So we've gotten a really good reaction from that. And we've gotten really good reaction from the children of veterans who are interested in potentially helping their parents with a process. A lot of vets, you know, we have a World War II vet that signed up. So we know that a lot of vets just are perfectly comfortable with technology, and a lot are not. So having the children of veterans come in was really, really important. So we made sure that any veteran that comes in or registers either has a basic or a premium membership. The premium membership gives them much more specific information, a lot deeper dive, and allows for storage of documents in the vault and various other things. But what we found was that by opening it up and saying anybody can be part of that veteran's membership. So if the veteran wants a child, a caregiver, an advocate, a representative, a physician, to be able to be part of the ecosystem that supports that veteran through the process, they can do that as well as elect a veteran service officer to assist them as well. So there's a lot there that we've done to kind of broaden the appeal of the site, because we are concerned that people get precise, accurate, and really independent information to help them through the process. And I would love it if VetsHQ was known as you can trust these folks, they're very reliable, and they're extremely accurate, and they have, you know, no political agenda.
Right.
This is, you know, this is going to be
it's a labor of love.
Yeah, exactly. It gives you information that you know you can rely on, but there's just no politics or anything behind it that steers you a certain way.
Right.
So we a lot of that we did focus groups with a lot of veterans that are friends, family members. You know, we did that in addition to this. And boy, I'll tell you, when you sit with someone who is a friend or a family member and you watch them go through the site and you see their reaction to things and you hear the stories about their experience in the service, it's so impressive.
It
really, you know, gives you that exact sort of affirmation you're looking for,
right,
that says,
right.
You know, this really has value.
Right.
So it's great. It's really nice. It's probably the finest thing I've ever done in my career.
You know, Linda, when you kind of look at it and you mentioned about the employers, which I think is important because we talk about the hiring of veterans. We talk about, you know, making sure that all veterans get an opportunity, to come back from their service, no matter what mm-hmm. generation you are, but to, you know, to have a good job. I mean, and that was a real big thing in World War II. Where a lot of the veterans kind of came back and they kind of changed the dynamics of the country. They got back and, you know, they got educated. They got, you know, they went to school. They got back out there. They were working. The country started to, you know, to move forward in a very, very positive direction. We want to have that continue to happen. You know, when we look at the employers, is a veteran who has their benefits, is that an asset? Because maybe an employer said, listen, I don't have to provide them health care. They can use a VA for their mm-hmm. health care. And also they know their benefits. They can tap that. And so that can kind of keep the cost down for the employer, but everybody wins. I mean, are you seeing that?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what there are two things that we've really talked with employers about a lot. One is a lot of employers have a waiting period before you can get benefits,
mm-hmm.
and it can be as long as a year.
Right.
So this is a good bridge, good safety net to those benefits. A lot of employers, like Walmart, for example, the positions they're hiring for are not entitled to benefits in some cases. They may be part-time workers. and also the relative income level of the average Walmart employee makes $8,000 a year. The average veteran with benefits is getting $12,000 federal tax-free per year. So that actually makes it possible for them to have this sort of financial augmentation through the process and be able to stay with it enough to maybe move up in the ranks. There's a lot of companies where, you know, if you're going to move up into management or to higher pay levels in the company, you're going to move up from within. So it helps you sustain till you can get to that point where you might get a, some type of managerial job or program job that helps you get to a higher salary level. But a lot of companies want you to start from the bottom up, companies like Costco, for example.
Right.
So those kinds of things are things that help. And then the other thing that really helps is it makes certain that the employer has a piece of their work environment and culture that is completely integrating the veteran into their workplace. And part of being able to do that is to be able to say, these are benefits you're entitled to and you've earned through your service. So let's help you make sure that those benefits are things that you're looking at. I think that just, shows a broader concern for the individual and a broader concern for making sure that, veterans are availing themselves of all the benefits they can. And that includes GI Bill. A lot of companies offer apprenticeship programs and things like that, which need to be certified by the Department of Labor as a program that for which post 9/11 GI Bill benefits apply. So those are things that I think are really useful to employers, and they're very to me, again, big point of affirmation. They're really focused on making sure that the veterans that come to work there are given every opportunity possible to succeed in their companies. And this is one element of making that possible. The other is, as we've talked to employers that employ the children of veterans, particularly Korea, Vietnam era veterans, and talk about the pressures when you have a full-time job and you're the caregiver. So we have that whole generation of people, I forget what they're called, but you've got the elder care dependent parent, and then you also have the issue of child care at the same time. And that's pretty stressful for an employee, and a lot of people actually quit their jobs to take care of their parents. So this is another area where getting the benefits for these veterans is really useful, and employers are really starting to look at that and say, I didn't think of that.
Right. So critical. We've been talking to Linda Ricks, and I'm hate that we're out of time, Linda. We could talk about this all day. We're going to have to keep this conversation going. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She is co-CEO of Fast Yeti. They run a site called VetsHQ.com. VetsHQ.com. Good site, great site for people to go on. If you're a veteran, if you know a veteran, if you're a family member of a veteran, get on there, find out what's going on with your benefits, find out if there's additional benefits you can get. They have all the different forms that you can imagine on there. They once you populate the information, it fills out for itself. It's a very, very good program. It's very, very inexpensive, and you can go from there. It's a great program that I advocate for veterans, because we got to make sure that veterans get the benefits they deserve. We've been talking about this. We're going to keep on talking about this. We'll see you next time on Fed Access. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.